This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Monday, July 12th, 2021. Producing from his home studio in Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my hotel lobby in Denver. Yeah, Taylor, it's a bit of a baggage claim Monday because you got some elevator music in the background, but I didn't want to like hang out in my room and do a baseball voice, booming baseball voice at like 7 a.m.
I kind of understand, but I, Buster, there's a lot of people around that are probably doing about the same thing you're doing, but
they're not.
No, everyone's sleeping.
Now, based on what I heard last night, I don't think there were a lot of people talking about baseball late last night. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Well, we got a little extra hotel lobby music for you here, just to set the mood for the listeners. But it should be a good show today. I'm very excited for the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game.
Yep, and we're going to be talking with Tim Kirchin today. And we are going to hear from Pete Alonso, the defending Derby champion, who talks about a change that he's made with his Derby pitcher. But before we get into that, I got to ask you, Taylor, who you got in the Derby tonight?
Of course, I ride with my guy, Trey Mancini, obviously. Yeah. Big time. I think Joey Gallo is going to win, actually. But I'm going to be cheering on Trey Mancini like all heck. I'm very excited to watch him.
All right, Nathan Garcia, intern, Mr. Malibu, who you got?
I got Soto, first round upset versus Ohtani, and then he goes on to win it.
Well, that's interesting because I got a story to tell you about Mr. Soto and Mr. Ohtani. I'm going to relate that when I speak with Tim Kirchin. And did you guys see that home run by Shohei Ohtani on Friday night in Seattle? Holy crap.
Got it. 33.
Oh, wow. Where did that one go? That's his 11th home run versus left-handed pitching this year. He was slugging 680 versus lefties.
Come on. Did you see Justin Upton? He had his hands on his head Macaulay Culkin style from Home Alone. Like, I can't believe what I just saw.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was Matt Viscursion, Mark Gubiza on the Angels Television Network. And that they couldn't believe what they saw because he hit it into the absolute upper tank in Seattle. That was crazy. It was the talk of baseball on Friday. In fact, I spoke with Matt Olson on Saturday morning. He, of course, is going to be in the Home Run Derby later tonight. And he mentioned it to me when I asked him, hey, who are you looking forward to seeing? He goes, well, Ohtani, did you see that home run he hit in Seattle last night? On Sunday night, the first 36 picks of baseball's draft. And the first pick, Henry Davis of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
With the first pick of the 2021 MLB draft, the Pittsburgh Pirates select Henry Davis, a catcher from the University of Louisville.
Yeah, that's right. Henry Davis, following up in the full footsteps of Will Smith, was the first pick in the draft. Jack Leiter went number 2 to the Texas Rangers. Here was Jack Leiter after that pick.
Describe your emotions after hearing your name called second overall.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's really hard to put into words, but I'm just so happy that I was able to have my family and friends and people that care about me all here to celebrate with, and that's sort of what I plan on doing.
Yeah, that's right. That sound from MLB Network. Maybe the most surprising pick in the first round, the fact that Kumar Rocker of Vanderbilt fell to the Mets at number 10. At times this year, there was talk that maybe Rocker would go number 1 overall, but he goes to the Mets at 10, and he talked about that.
Kumar, kind enough to join us now here. All right, Kumar, we saw the emotion from your mom and dad. In a lot of ways, it feels like we've kind of taken this ride with you, but tell me about what it felt like to hear your name in New York and see the reaction of your dad and your mom in that moment.
They were happy. It was a breath of relief for sure. I had a long, long 2 years, worked hard, and I'm glad it ended like this.
Lots of changes with the All-Star rosters. Dodgers outfielder Mookie Betts, Astros outfielder Michael Brantley are among the players who have decided not to play, while Cardinals catcher Yadier Molina was scheduled to make his 10th appearance as one of the replacements. But Major League Baseball announced the selections of 10 players to the active All-Star rosters as replacements because All-Stars were unable to participate in Tuesday's game at Coors. Betts and Brantley opted out because of injuries, with Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, Ryan Pressly also not playing. There will not be a representative from the Houston Astros. There was a really awful moment on Saturday in the Braves game in Miami. This is what happened.
Left-on-left matchup. That's hit out towards right field. Going back there towards the wall. Acuna leaps into the air. Can't come up with it. Goes crashing into the padding. Acuna appears to be in a lot of pain out there on the warning track at right field. Braves training staff taking a look at Ronald. And he's writhing in pain right now.
Went leaping to try and catch that fly ball. Couldn't catch it and came down rather awkwardly.
That sound from 680 The Fan. He tore his ACL on that play. He is out for the rest of this year. He might miss some of the beginning of next season. He spoke with reporters on Sunday about what he was feeling.
I feel bad, to be honest, right now. You know, when I got the news, I was really disappointed and sad. And, you know, one of the reasons being is I love to play, and that's what I want to do. I want to be able to play. I'm really sad and, you know, disappointed for the team just because, you know, I know they need me, and I want to be there for them, and I want to help contribute. But I have the utmost confidence in my teammates to go out and, you know, get the job done and produce, and I know they'll do great.
We're going to be talking with Tim Kirchen about that injury and what it means for the Atlanta Braves as they move forward. On Saturday in Houston, a fun moment for Aaron Judge. He hit a missile home run, and as he rounded the bases, he did something very interesting.
He hits one in the air to deep left center field. Forget about this one. Home run number 21. Way gone for Judge, and the Yankees lead 1-0.
So what he did as he approached third base is he kind of pulled his jersey together, and it was apparent after you looked at it on replay that he was mocking Jose Altuve for that gesture that Altuve made when he hit the walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman in the 2019 playoffs, where the conversation about whether or not Altuve may have been wearing a buzzer. After the game, Judge, seemingly with tongue firmly planted in cheek, gave an explanation to Marley Rivera and others what he was doing.
It seemed that you made a gesture on your jersey as you were rounding third base as you hit that home run. Was there a little message to the opposing dugout?
Oh, no, it's whenever they keep the roof closed here, it's pretty chilly. So it's just, you know, let my team know to button up a little bit.
So then when people go on social media and say everything that you were trolling Jose Altuve for the don't rip my jersey off, they would be incorrect to assume that.
Everyone's welcome to their own opinion.
Yeah, he didn't chase people off that. Well, guess what? It kind of came back to bite Judge and the Yankees on Sunday. The Yankees had a 7-2 lead against the Astros in the ninth inning. They were going for the sweep, and then this happened.
The 1-1. And Altuve hits it in the air pretty deep to left. Going back is LeCastro at the wall. Looking up. See you later. 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 Astros win it in the bottom of the ninth. Jose Altuve, the walk-off homer. 8-7 Astros. They were down by 5. In the bottom of the ninth, and Altuve's 20th home run of the year is a walk-off winner.
What a way to go to the All-Star break.
Robert Ford, KBME, 790 AM with Steve Sparksy chipping in right there. Yeah, after Altuve crossed home plate, his teammates ripped off his shirt. No buzzers there. Major League Baseball teams this year are 493-2, winning percentage of .996 when leading by 4-plus runs entering the ninth inning this season. And the Yankees are responsible for both of those losses. There was also that loss on June 30th against the Angels. The hottest team going into the break, no question about it. The Cincinnati Reds, who got it done in the ninth inning against the Brewers.
Taters, 1-0 pitch. Swing and a bullet up the middle into center field, a hit. Here's Suarez, right behind him, Farmer. India headed to third. It's a two-run go-ahead single for Nick Castellanos, and it's 3-1 Reds.
He has done it again. Oh, my goodness.
Again and again and again. The Reds win the game 3-1 at sound from 700 WLW. So as we go into the break, the Reds 4 games behind the Brewers. In the National League Central, the Cubs 8 games out and in the midst of talking to other teams about a sell-off. Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, they went into the All-Star break. L.A. did with a nice moment.
Now the pitch. Fly ball, right field. This is going to walk it off. A 3-run home run for the All-Star. Max Muncy. His 19th home run of the year. And what a way for the Dodgers to go into the All-Star intermission.
Muncy, a three-run walk-off.
Charlie Steiner, AM 570, LA Sports. Four people were arrested on illegal weapons possession charges at a hotel near Coors Field. Denver police arrested three men and a woman after receiving a tip. Local ABC television station Denver 7 cited multiple law enforcement sources and reports that 16 long guns, body armor, and more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition were found in an eighth-floor hotel room that had a balcony overlooking downtown Denver. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Seam heads rejoice. This is Timmy time.
Baseball is the greatest game.
With Tim Kirkson.
It never disappoints you.
On Baseball Tonight.
And Tim Kirkson covers baseball for ESPN. And Tim, that means last night getting to work alongside your son at an event. How cool was that? Tell us about that.
Well, that's as good as it gets for me. My son, Jeff, 27 years old, radio music talk guy in Las Vegas, hosted play-by-play on the celebrity softball game, which he did 2 years ago with Eduardo Perez. But Eduardo did the draft this year, so they hooked me up with my son. We did the celebrity softball game, which was hilariously funny and so good and so bad at the same time. But all that matters is, my son did a great job calling that game last night, and I was so proud just to be sitting next to him. So that was a keeper of all time for me. I've done some stuff with him, but I've never done a two-hour game with him before, and he handled himself beautifully.
So give me your most embarrassing celebrity moment, because I know you well enough to know that, you know, you probably knew a lot of the celebrities, and then maybe there were one or two that you weren't as familiar with. What was your most embarrassing celebrity moment?
Well, they made me do it, but I had to dance with JoJo Siwa, who's an 18-year-old like TikTok star. So I had to dance with her. She showed me how to do a TikTok dance move. I explained, I'm 64 years old. I'm the least cool person on the face of the earth. I'm the worst dancer ever. I'm more wooden than Pinocchio. And I still had to dance for 15 seconds with an 18-year-old who was great to me because she had attempted to help me, but that's going to actually appear on television at some point, and that will be officially the end of my career.
Well, I got to believe that your wedding dance move, probably video, made it into this broadcast, correct?
I am certainly hoping not. They ambushed me on that. They seem to ambush me on virtually everything these days. But the lesson is, Buster, if you can't have a good laugh with yourself once in a while, you got to get out of this business because it's way too hard to take yourself too seriously.
All right. The Home Run Derby tonight. I think the signature event in baseball now, it's a chance by the end of the year to be the highest rated event in baseball. So much excitement around this year's because of Shohei Ohtani and what, you know, potentially he could be capable of in this derby. There's seven other big leaguers who are going to try to beat him. Who you picking?
Well, I'm picking Ohtani just because I think he has been the story, obviously, of the first half of the season. The first two-way player ever to play in the All-Star game. He is he's got 33 home runs. It's remarkable what he's doing. I think it's the most incredible at least half of a season that we've ever seen in the history of baseball. And the fact that he was the first one to sign up for the Home Run Derby tells me that he's going to win the Home Run Derby, because that would be very symmetrical with what has happened for the first 4 months of this season.
So I'm going to go with Pete Alonso, and I'll give you my rationale. There's no question Otani is going to be the show tonight. Like, he's the headliner. But just in that, you remember that year when Josh Hamilton put on that incredible show at Yankee Stadium? He didn't win, Tim, as you remember. He was not the guy who prevailed. And I kind of wonder about that for tonight. And very interesting change made by Pete Alonso for this year's Derby. You remember when he first did it in 2019, he brought along his second cousin, Derek Morgan, because as he explained, his cousin and he, his kids, had talked about, boy, wouldn't it be great to do the Home Run Derby? So they lived out a childhood dream, and it was fairly apparent, I think you would agree with me on this, that his cousin was completely overwhelmed by the adrenaline. Like, he was really struggling to throw strikes, and so it was amazing that Pete Alonso won that Derby, despite the fact he was basically coaching his cousin through that, trying to get his heart rate down. And he's made a change this year. He's going with a grizzled coach who you know well, I know well, Dave Jouse. The Mets bench coach is going to throw to him. And I was thinking about it over the weekend. I'm like, you know what? If Pete Alonso can win a Derby with a really nervous batting practice pitcher, you get a guy who's got his heart rate at 70 the way Dave Jouse will tonight, I think Pete Alonso's got a shot.
Well, I know how much he loves the Home Run Derby, how much it meant to him to win the last time. In fact, one of the Mets guys told me, we think he wants to win the Home Run Derby more than he wants to win the Rookie of the Year. That's how important it was to him. So he is really determined to repeat as the Home Run Derby champ. So I won't bet against him, but it's a good choice. And there's no doubt the BP pitcher is critical on this. The best BP pitcher ever, by the way, is Rich Donnelly, who pitched to every batter during one of the first Home Run Derbies. He pitched to all of them, and he pitched from the rubber, not from a screen in front of the mound. He pitched from the rubber. It was unbelievable. Not the point. The point is your batting practice pitcher is critical, and Pete Alonso has an up. I understand that now. And let's not forget, Joey Gallo is going to hit the longest home run tonight and the highest home run tonight, because no one hits a towering fly ball better than Joey Gallo.
And I love Joey Gallo's choice for his BP pitcher, Tony Beasley. You know, and when I talked to Joey the other day about it, he said he understands what this could mean for Tony as well.
Love that stuff. And I love that you write stories, Buster, about the BP pitchers, because no one even recognizes who they are. But I loved it when Todd Frazier's brother threw to him in Cincinnati a few years ago in the best Home Run Derby I've ever seen. And he kept screaming at his brother, throw faster, let's go, we're running out of time. That's what makes the Home Run Derby so good.
So every person I spoke with, and I spoke with 7 of the 8 Derby participants, the only one I didn't speak with was Otani. But I asked him a question, it was a standard one to all 7. Who are you most looking forward to seeing? And 6 of the 7 said Otani. In fact, Salvador Perez said that he thanks God that he can share a baseball field with Otani, who he thinks is the best player in baseball. And that's how, you know, special he thinks Otani is. The only person who didn't was Juan Soto, who competes against Otani tonight in the first round, which, as I thought about it, was the least surprising thing. Like, Juan Soto was like, yeah, I can't wait to see Joey Gallo. Can't wait to see Trevor Story. But he was not going to pump up Otani. That's not a surprise to you, is it?
Not at all. And let's not count Soto out of this. He is such a great hitter. He can turn himself into whatever he wants. You know, no one takes a pitch 2 inches off the plate better than that guy, but he can also expand the strike zone, take a ball on the outside part and hit a home run to left field. The problem is that's what Otani does really well too. And Buster, every time I watch Otani take that ball on the inside part of the plate, keep those hands in and hit a home run to left center field, it's just breathtaking to watch.
All right. So a lot of fun over the weekend as we lead up to the Derby, the All-Star game, but an absolutely awful moment in Miami the other day when Ronald Acuña Jr. is chasing a line drive. And you could see right away in the way that he landed awkwardly that there was a chance that this was going to be a season ending injury. And not only, you know, is he out for the rest of this year, but he probably is going to miss some of the beginning of next season. And it's not only about, you know, the Braves and the Braves' chances for making the playoffs take a big hit. I would assume now that the Braves are in a position where they could potentially be sellers rather than buyers. They've lost so many players this year, but it's also about losing a player who has just about as much fun as anybody in baseball.
Yeah, terrible loss for the Braves. Equally big a loss for baseball, because you can say Tatis and Otani, but you know, you can't take your eyes off of Ronald Cunha Jr. He leads their team in batting, in home runs, and in stolen bases. He leads the major leagues in runs scored. He is a force defensively. He runs the bases like a madman, and that's a good thing. And it's just terrible. It's just another reminder how easy it is to get hurt playing this game. And how many more injuries do we have this year, Buster? It's just not good for the game. It's nobody's fault. But it's just awful that we're going to miss him for the rest of the year, because he is appointment viewing every single time he plays.
And look, Alex Anthopoulos, their general manager, is not going to come out and say that's it. But as we wake up today, I believe they're eight games out of first place now, four or five games out of first place in the National League East. But when you've lost Acuna and you've lost Ozuna and you've lost Soroka and you've lost Darnell, I mean, that's just too much to overcome. And I would not at all blame Alex Anthopoulos if he were to go to Charlie Morton, go to Drew Smyly and say, look, it's more likely that we're going to be sellers than buyers. How do you guys feel about being traded during the course of this season? What do you think?
Yeah, well, that, as you know, is not Alex's MO. He's always trying to win. He's always trying to get better. But they've lost so much, and so many guys are not coming back this year. I don't know how they're going to get through the rest of the year, you know, especially since the Mets are pretty good. They have great pitching, and you got to think the Mets are going to get better from here, not worse. So, yes, I think Alex has to look at the situation and say, maybe we can get something good for Charlie Morton, and now's the time to move him.
Yeah, the Braves, four games out of first place in the National League East, and you're right. I mean, the Mets are out there, you know, talking about adding a starting pitcher. They're out there probably talking about adding a Chris Bryant, or maybe a Javier Baez. It was kind of a fun series of events, maybe not so fun at the end of the weekend for the Yankees, but on Saturday and Sunday, between those two teams, Aaron Judge hits a home run in the Yankees' win on Saturday, which was the second consecutive win for them over the Astros. And Tim, as he rounds third base, he kind of tucks in his jersey. I saw him do it initially, and I didn't know what it was about, and I didn't put two and two together. But then I got a text message from an executive who was like, yeah, you know what that was about, right? He's mocking Jose Altuve with the, you know, so-called buzzer home run in 2019, where Altuve was tucking in his jersey, telling his teammates not to rip his jersey off, you know, leading to conspiracy theories, which I don't believe, and you don't believe, that Altuve was wearing a buzzer. But Judge did that, and then he explained to reporters afterward that it's kind of chilly when they have the roof open in Houston, and he was telling his teammates to stay warm. Well, then on Sunday, revenge for Altuve. He hits a walk-off home run, and as he crosses home plate, his teammates rip his jersey off. It was a devastating loss for the Yankees, but I got to say, as a baseball moment, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great, and it was too subtle for me on Judge's home run. I didn't put it together either, and I'm sorry. It's time to put that one to rest. That little guy is a great player, and anyone who thinks he was a great player only because he was stealing signs and everything else, got to be kidding me. You can't have this many hits because someone hit a trash can in the background. That's absurd. And he's having a spectacular year. So let's move on from this. I think it's time. You can still boo the Astros if you like, but let's give Altuve a break. He's an all-star. He's having a great year. He's hit another home run. He's got two walk-offs this year. And the Yankees, sorry, at this point, shouldn't be poking fun at anyone because they are in a heap of trouble.
Yeah, Major League Baseball teams this year have a record of 493 wins and two losses when leading by four-plus runs entering the ninth inning. The Yankees are responsible for both of those losses, the other, of course, being that loss to the Angels on June 30th when Aroldis Chapman allowed a grand slam home run. So how are you feeling if you're Brian Cashman, you're Aaron Boone, you wake up this morning and you've hit the All-Star break, You're 8 games out of first place in the American League East. You had a terrible loss on Sunday. You don't know what's going on with Chapman. But, Tim, you do feel really good about the adjustments that Gerrit Cole made to shut out the Astros on Saturday. And in that last week, you won the final game of the series against the Mets. You took 2 or 3 from Seattle. You took 2 or 3 from Houston. You've got 8 of your first 10 games out of the break against the Red Sox. How are you feeling?
Well, I would have felt a whole lot better if I were a Yankee if they had held that lead yesterday. But to lose a game like that, second time they've lost a game like that this year, as you said, that's just a terrible way to go into the break. And it's a terrible way to start the second half next week or later this week. I refuse to count the Yankees out of any sort of playoff contention here, but they're not going to win the division. They're too far out. They have too many teams to catch, and they've only come back from 5 games out to win the division or finish first one time in their history. And that was in 1978, famously against the Red Sox. And those teams in front of them are good. The Rays are good. The Blue Jays are getting better. And even though the Red Sox stumbled a little here, they're a good team too. So I think the Yankees still can make the playoffs, but they're going to have to get awfully hot soon.
Yeah. So what I heard over the weekend was, as of now, the Yankees will be buyers. They will not be sellers. They may not go out and go crazy in making additions, but they will go out and they will make additions as it stands right now. We'll see. You know, if they totally collapse against the Red Sox, that potentially could change that. A team which I really think it perhaps has moved to the potentially the seller killer category to the buyer category, the Cincinnati Reds, who won 9 of their last games, 11 games leading into the break. They had that great series to finish up with against the Milwaukee Brewers. At the All-Star break, they're now 4 games behind the Brewers in the National League Central. And, of course, they have one of the most competitive owners in baseball in Bob Castellini. What are you seeing in the Reds?
Yeah, they're 9-2 in July. That's the best record of any team. They've gotten themselves back into the race. The Brewers have great pitching. We know that, but the Brewers are a subpar offensive team, which we saw again yesterday, another game with 5 hits or fewer, and they can be beaten. So, and I think the Reds look at themselves as they should and said, our offense can run with anybody right now. They need to make some pitching upgrades, bullpen and rotation. And Bob Castellini wants to win every game. They have to explain to him, this is baseball. It doesn't work that way, but good for him for wanting to try to win, and they have a chance. So I think they're going to go for it here and try to get a couple of pitchers to help them out. Should be real interesting to see what they do.
So give me a takeaway from last night's first round of the draft, the first 36 picks that were broadcast on ESPN.
Well, I'm no draft expert, but I know there were a lot of surprises last night, and that's the beauty of baseball. I mean, I don't think everyone saw Henry Davis, the catcher from Louisville, going first. I kept being told that it was going to be one of the high school shortstops or one of the Vanderbilt pitchers. But as you know, Buster, with money involved here and some sort of cap involved where what you spend in the first round is going to affect how you spend the rest of the time, that changes everything. I was really surprised that Kumar Rocker dropped to number 10 with the Mets. The way it's been explained to me, he's going to pitch for the Mets this year, potentially. And that slider is going to play in the big leagues, and he could pitch in relief for the Mets in September. That sounds pretty appealing to me. Those were my takeaways, is that it just didn't go the way that I thought it would. And a lot of real experts thought it would. It was a fascinating first round.
Yeah, it was very interesting when, you know, you get a player who's very well known the way that Rocker is, because that no-hitter that he threw and all the success that he had at Vanderbilt. When he falls, of course, the reaction on social media is, boy, the other team screwed up, and how could Rocker drop that far back? You know, and I know that all these teams, they see the same thing everybody else sees. They know who's on the board. They have the reasons for wanting to do things. And so, you know, the teams ahead of them, ahead of the Mets who passed on him, you know, they have their logic for why they did that. Not to say that that's foolproof, because as we know, 24 teams passed on Mike Trout, Tim.
Yeah, but Buster, this is the beauty of the draft. It's a crapshoot. Still, it's baseball. That's the best part about it. How many first-round busts are there in the NFL or the NBA? Probably more than I know, but I think you have a much better idea when you watch a guy, a college kid, run up and down the court 15 times whether he can play in the NBA. But you can watch a baseball player for two yep. years at AA, and you're still not sure if he's going to play in the big league someday. The degree of difficulty of the game is what changes the baseball draft, and is what I love so much about it. You're never quite sure. And the fact that, you know, Griffey Jr. and Chipper Jones are the only two overall number one picks to go to the Hall of Fame, that just shows you how difficult it is to get it right in the draft.
All right, Tim, I will see you at the ballpark later today.
Okay, Buster, see you at the book signing too. That'll be fun.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11 ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
On Friday, I got a chance to talk with Pete Alonso, the defending Home Run Derby champion, about the event. Give a listen.
Pete, what did you learn in 2019 doing the Derby that you think is going to be useful for you this year?
Well, I think taking as much rest as possible, taking less swings is for sure going to be key, because it's a pretty stacked group of guys. And I think taking as much little swings as possible is excellent. And conserving energy is going to be the main thing. I know there's going to be a lot of excitement and a lot of different events going on surrounded by All-Star Weekend. But the biggest thing for me is being able to conserve energy. And I know that for me, I'm not worried about the altitude at all. I love the high altitude, and I usually go out west in the off season, so I'm pretty used to the high altitude. But I know that some guys don't like it, and it fatigues guys. So I know that for me, I know that's not going to be an issue. So I'm really excited.
What do you think about the rule change from two timeouts to three?
Well, I think the league is just worried about keeping guys healthy, and I think that can be huge. And you probably know the rules better than I do, but by the time I get there, I'll have the rules mastered. But so it's 3 minutes timeout and then 30 seconds timeout, or is there two timeouts within the 3 minute?
I haven't broken it down that much, I'll be honest with you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess more timeouts is a good thing, because you can kind of catch your breath and regain momentum if you're kind of out of rhythm. But I think that could be a good thing. Also, it could be a bad thing. if you take a timeout just to take a timeout. But I think that's a part of it where you have to have a little bit of gamesmanship. And I think that could be a good thing. It could be for sure useful.
Leading up to the 19 Derby, you made a concerted effort to practice. How about this year?
Well, absolutely. I've been trying to figure out a way to practice, but because of the damn weather, we've had a ton of doubleheaders, and early work has been canceled because the tarp's on the field. But we're definitely going to get a couple practice runs in. But my thrower is Jousy, and he's been throwing to me since spring training. So I've been practicing every day in a way, but I haven't taken any BP without the turtle. But I'm excited to get a couple rounds in and do a couple simulations of it. But I know he's going to put it right in the breadbasket. So it's going to be a fun time.
So he's your bat. He's going to pitch to you in the Derby.
Yes.
Why'd you choose David?
Well, I chose him because, I mean, he said he threw to Nomar Garciaparra in the Derby back in 99, and he's thrown to a lot of elite hitters in his day, and he just I love his BP, so it's going to be a fun time. He puts it right in my breadbasket, and I'm excited.
You've made it absolutely clear that this is an event you love. Describe why.
It's so fun. That's why. I mean, it's just so darn fun. And I think hitting is the most fun part about baseball, and it's a really fun event for fans and for us players. So I think the home run is the coolest part about the game of baseball, and it's having a whole night and a whole event and a whole contest surrounded by the coolest thing in baseball is awesome, and to be able to participate in that, it's such a blast.
You said to me once that as long as they would have you back, you'd always want to come back. Is that the way you feel as you get older?
Absolutely. It's again, I feel like I felt like a little kid out there on the field. I was just so blissful and happy to be out on that field competing in the Derby. And it's just for me, I think it was just pure happiness, pure joy being able to compete. And granted, like I'm super intense and super, super locked in during the event, but I felt like I was on cloud nine the entire time. And to be able to go out to Denver and do it again, it's going to be fun.
You touched on this, you know, the elements in Colorado, hitting an elevation. How, in your estimation, does that affect what we're going to see on Monday in terms of the show?
It's going to be fun. I mean, I'm not a Statcast guy. I don't know necessarily all the algorithms and how much further it'll affect the ball. But to my understanding, just playing in Colorado, I really like the background there and at Coors. I mean, it's a great background, and I always feel like I hit well, not just for power, but I see the ball well there. So it's gonna, for me, I know I'm gonna have an absolute ball during the event. So I know other guys will too, but it's gonna be a fun event. I think there's obviously a high possibility of some 500 foot homers to be hit.
Give me the name of someone who's in the competition you can't wait to watch.
Everybody. I mean, everybody. Everyone that's in the Derby has some serious juice, but and everybody's a formidable foe. Everyone is a force to be reckoned with, and I mean, it's everyone that's in there is got some serious juice. So it's going to be a show, but I'm looking to come out on top again.
Last one for you in the Derby. Do you change the bat that you use and, you know, maybe go a little heavier? Or is it the same bat used during games?
Oh, it's the same specs, but I have a couple different bats I'm going to want to use because I have quite the arsenal. So it's going to be fun.
I can't wait to see it. Pete, thanks for doing this.
LFGM. Thanks, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
already Buster Bleacher tweets for a Monday. And first, I wanted to bring up that last night I had the privilege of producing the Low Post Hoop Collective post game podcast for the NBA Finals. They're doing one of those after every NBA Finals game. A lot of fun. They had Tyrese Halliburton of the Sacramento Kings on and got his take on Game 3, which the Bucks took after a dominant Giannis performance. So please check that out wherever you get to your podcast. And let's roll over to the tweets here. Our friend Matt at Kayaking Smith. Imagine you're a Braves fan. At what point did you give up on the season? Was it the Bohm no touch score review upheld, Soroka re-injuring his Achilles, losing the series in Pittsburgh, or the MVP candidate Ronald Acuna Jr. going down with a torn ACL in Miami over the weekend?
Yeah, Matt, I can imagine that because my son, as I've talked about, is a huge Braves fan. And we were texting back and forth on Saturday about the injury, and he was sending me, you know, emojis with the downward faces and very sad. I think it actually adds some clarity to the Braves and their plans. There's no point at this stage in devoting a lot of resources toward increasing their playoff chances, which stand at about 10% right now. You know, I mean, if the Braves players on the field now, let's say they had a great start to the second half, then maybe you would have a proportional response out a little bit. But boy, I mean, they have been as devastated and suffered as many losses of key guys this year as any team in baseball.
Next up, we have Ernesto Cedillo at ERNYC377. Ernesto writes in, with NIL in college, do you see high school players foregoing the draft more frequently? They'd have a chance to improve their stock, get an education, make some money, and have the college experience. Do you see eligibility changes coming in the future? We have not talked to NIL on here, Buster. What do you think?
You know, look, I think it's going to make a huge difference for the elite basketball guys and for the elite football guys. I don't see it being like as big of a deal. Look, we were just talking with Tim about how the baseball draft is different than some of the other drafts, right? Where there's just, it feels like so many unknowns about how players will develop. So I don't think the leverage will be as high. The one thing I do think that this could lead to as we go into the next round of collective bargaining talks is that I do wonder if this is going to, you know, goose Major League Baseball into allowing more money for players who are drafted. In other words, that could be the incentive that Major League Baseball teams could counter to some of these prospects when it comes in the draft. Does that make sense? Like, I think that with that, you know, with that major negotiation coming up, that would have to be part of that conversation.
Absolutely. And I think that was the case before all the NIL stuff came to the forefront. And I think you're right. There's not going to be a ton of money for college players to make, but you know what, maybe your Vanderbilt guys, maybe they're, I mean, not that they need to be throwing around cash to top high school prospects, but you know, that could be a thing. So probably for the top programs, but that's
You know, like a Leiter, a Kamar Rocker, you know, those guys who, you know, players at that stature that we get to know ahead of time, they're going to make some money, but they're not a lot of baseball players who I think are going to have, you know, that type of, you know, financial bounce feedback. We'll see.
Totally. Last one for the day, Chris Huber at C Huber 2321. Chris writes in, hey Buster, should the Rangers trade Joey Gallo and where would he go? And is Kyle Gibson a lock for being traded?
Yes, I think the Rangers are going to trade Joey Gallo. I think they're going to absolutely try to get maximum return. He's moving closer to free agency. Where would he go? Boy, you know, the Mets seem to be the team that we talk about constantly in terms of contenders that are looking to add some sort of offense. I wonder a little bit about the Giants, you know, whether or not he would be a good fit there as well. San Diego would be an interesting place for him to land. Of course, AJ Preller, who's you know, head of baseball operations for the Padres, is going to be very familiar with Gallo from his days with the Texas Rangers. But I do think that Gallo is going to move. And I think Kyle Gibson's going to move. You know, he's regarded among executives that I've spoken with as maybe right now, you know, outperforming what they think that his metrics suggest where he should be. So the Rangers may not get as much of a return as they would expect, but he might be the best available starting pitcher right now.
Alrighty, that does it for Bleacher Tweets. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets while you're watching the Home Run Derby tonight. Check that out and please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Yeah, I can't wait to do that. That's going to be fun tonight, starting at 8 o'clock with a lot of pregame, pre-event coverage that we're going to have on ESPN. But during the Derby, we're going to have Carl Ravitch as the host. Eduardo Perez will be there. Marley will be there. I'll be there. And we're going to be talking a whole lot about Shohei Ohtani and the seven other participants. That's it for today. My thanks to Pete Alonso, to Taylor, to Tim. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.